Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music once again. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And we started in the first message as a 12-year-old boy that Jesus Christ presented. And then we have been looking at all the messages up to this beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 through chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, the blueprint for New Testament Christianity. What a tremendous, tremendous passage of Scripture it is that Jesus just laid it out there for the disciples as well as for all of us to be able to read and reread. And I trust that that is something that on a regular basis you might look at rereading and just continuing to go on through that, because it is something that every born-again believer needs to be aware of, is the messages from the Sermon on the Mount. And so we just got last Sunday night, we finished up with the Beatitudes from verse 1 down to verse 12. And so tonight, verse 13 down to verse 16. So if you would stand with me, we'll read this together. Jesus's revelation of salt and light. It's something, if you've been in church for a very long time at all, you've heard, hopefully you've heard many messages on salt and light. But it's Jesus's revelation after the Beatitudes in the very same setting that he had in teaching the disciples, the apostles, the Beatitudes. Then he presents salt and light. So let's read here verse 13 down to verse 16. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith should it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And let's pray. Father, we do bow before you tonight and thank you for the opportunity that you've given each one of us to be here tonight. And for all that are here via the live stream as well. And I just pray, God, for each one that is listening and looking to you tonight for spiritual help, strength. I pray, God, that you'd bless them and give them exactly what kind of spiritual need they have. I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of your word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, who is Jesus speaking to when he says, "Ye are"? Verse 13, the salt of the earth. And then in verse 14, the very same thing, "Ye are the light of the world." As we look at verse 1 and 2, we find, as we had mentioned in teaching the Beatitudes and establishing the attitude for New Testament Christianity, we find that he had left the multitudes and he went up to the mountain, and his disciples followed him up into the mountain as he was ready to teach them. So this would be the apostles, the disciples that he was preparing to be the New Testament apostles during the apostolic age. And so after he presents to them the attitudes of New Testament Christianity, he gives them the revelation of New Testament testimony. The testimony that of those that have determined to live by the Beatitudes. And the testimony that we have determined to live by to be the disciples that Jesus wants us to be, and that is having the attitude that he presented in verses 1 through 12, is this testimony of salt and light. So all of those throughout this New Testament church age that would be determined to be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would want to be Christian, who would want to be Christ-like, to be able to have a testimony of Christianity. So he says, to those that have looked to these Beatitudes, and you understand this is the mindset that I want to all believers to have throughout the New Testament and church age, to you, ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt and light. Salt and light are essential to human life on earth. We would not have human life outside of either one of these. So we find here God's blueprint for New Testament Christianity. Without this blueprint, there would be no world. Who established the world? Who placed man on the earth? Who had a purpose? God. As God created, and he created man for his pleasure. And then we find that man fell into sin. He chose. And because of that, death passed upon all men. For that we're all sinners. God devised a plan for man to look to him. And as man would look to him, then God would give them life. God would continue to give man life on the earth. He gave us a little taste of what would happen to the earth with man outside of salt and light, outside of the testimony of godliness. And when we seen what happened, the ultimate result was God destroyed the world with the flood. But he saved Noah, who had a sense of righteousness with God. And from there, God promised that he would not destroy the world with a flood. He did not promise that he would not destroy the world. The world as we know it will be destroyed. But before the world will be destroyed, we find that God will take salt and light, the testimony of salt and light, New Testament Christianity, off the earth. And during that time, there's going to be a tribulation period. Can you imagine what it's going to be like without the testimony of Christianity? It'll go back to the way it was before God destroyed the world with water. Jesus somewhat revealed that in his teachings. But as long as he has the church here, then we have salt and light. And the testimony that he compares to salt and light as being essential to have a world. I trust you're getting a hold of this. I mean, this is the beginning of it. We need to realize that this is what it's about. That's why he chooses these two essentials to illustrate. His choice of using salt and his choice of using light as to identify the testimony of Christianity. Without it, God will destroy the world. But until the rapture of the church, we have salt and light. We will continue to have salt and light because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And he says to disciples of Jesus Christ, ye are the salt of the earth. And ye are the light of the world. The comparison of the spiritual testimony of believers with salt, first of all. The testimony of believers is looked upon by God as salt. We understand that in first century Israel, salt was a very valuable substance. And now there's a lot we could go into that, and some would get paid with salt. And that's where that phrase come out, you're not worth the salt. But we find that it was a very important, very valuable substance. It was before refrigeration, before electricity, before refrigeration, salt was the main way to preserve meat, which was somewhat vital. Salt, if you will, and understanding how it is related here to the earth, prevents decay. If you stop and think about that, if it preserves meat, it preserves things, then the purpose of salt is that it prevents decay. The world is decaying. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The world has been decaying ever since the curse and the penalty that God placed upon sin. And when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world and started decaying the world. That's why you will die and I will die a physical death, because we are decaying. The Bible says, if you look over to 1 John chapter 2, and verse 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's part of that sin nature that has now passed upon every man. We're born with a sin nature. And so this sin nature of man is something that brings out the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But it's not of God. It's not of heaven. It's of the world. And the world passeth away. It's decaying. And eventually this world will be destroyed with fire. The Bible very clearly reveals that. God will not destroy the earth with water again, but he will destroy the world by fire. The Bible reveals that to us. And so the world is going to pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Because we are not of this world. Salt prevents decay. Jesus came as salt from heaven. Jesus came as salt from heaven, a savor that all humanity needed to be saved, to be salvaged. Salt has a savor, distinct quality, different from the world. With his savor as being from heaven and not this world, being God and not man. He did not have the sin nature of man. He was God who was manifested in the flesh. And as from heaven, he had a savor that we had need of. With his savor, he became our savior. That's good. Because as we look back into our text here, he reveals some things about the savor. Salt. It's got to be different. And it's ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, his distinct qualities, that which makes it different from the world. If it's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What's going to be salted? The earth. God's plan for Christianity was to be the salt of the earth. But if we have lost our savor, we can no longer be the salt of the earth. We cannot be what this world needs. And what will happen when we fail to be what this world needs and we have lost the savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So let's go back to that idea of Jesus was not of this world. And he came with a savor. And the savor that he came with was exactly what the world needed. The world, in identifying the world with humanity, being lost and on our way to a devil's hell, and needed to be saved, reconciled unto God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look there with me. I trust everybody's got their thinking caps on tonight and you're following with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So salt and light are the testimonies that the world needs. It's the testimony of those that have determined to live Christ-like with the Beatitudes, having the attitudes, the mindset that Jesus established with the Beatitudes. And with that attitude and that mindset, then you become something different, something that the world needs, but something different than the world. You have a savor. Like the illustration and the example of salt. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, Paul writes, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. God has a purpose in all of this. And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the Gospels. Through that understanding of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came with a savor and he became our Savior. And once we receive him as our Savior, we have a savor. Yeah. That the world needs. As the world needs salt. Because salt prevents decay. The New Testament church that Jesus established ought to be a salt factory. Amen. If you come in and you get what God wants you to get from His church, you come in and you hear the Word of God being preached, and you are led to Christ through the plan of salvation that God has determined through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you come and you are discipled. After you're saved, then you're baptized so that you might freely identify with Jesus Christ and not be ashamed of Him and want to be identify with Him publicly. And you are baptized to identify with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then you are discipled through the teaching and the preaching, and you are given an understanding for your existence. You are being prepared to be the savor that the world needs, which is salt. We must not lose, especially the church, if it's going to be the salt factory that God has designed it to be. We must not lose our savor, which is distinctives, which are distinctively different from the world. They're distinct, and they're not of this world. If you remember the Beatitudes, we went through and we studied on each one of those and realized you're not going to come by that naturally. The Beatitudes are supernatural. They're not of this world. They're not of this flesh. They came with Christ. They came with understanding the mind of God and the purpose of God and the ways of God. If it's like the world, it is thenceforth good for nothing. Being different is not our goal. Being different is not what we're aiming for. Being Christ-like is. Some people just want to be different and they become weird. I don't believe Jesus was weird. He was different. But He had a Savior that people wanted what He had. Because He was different. And they realized they had a need for that kind of Savior. Without Savior, there's no respect. And there's no usefulness. And you'll be trodden under the foot of men because they will not have respect. And they will not see you as having any usefulness in society. Is that what's happening? The testimony of the position that I have that God's called me to used to be one in the United States of America that was respected. Even by the lost, it was something that was respected. The church house was respected. No longer respected. As it should be. Is it because they've highlighted and they have blown up everything that they could possibly blow up and highlight that would take away the savor of the church? When the world starts looking to Christianity without a savor, without being different, without being useful, without being something they desire, as they did with Jesus, they'll just trod you underfoot. God did not establish a church, neither did He establish Christianity to be a floor mat for anyone or anything. He established us to impact the world and have a usefulness that people could look to and desire. Yeah. We are peculiar to the world. But you can desire that which is peculiar. You can want that which is peculiar if you see it's going to benefit. And what Christianity brings to the world is God. An almighty creator God that it can come through in the midst of a trial, that can come through in the midst of a war, can come through in the midst of a coronavirus. If we have enough desire for God and we turn to Him and we look to Him to give us that which we have need of to overcome whatever it is we have to face. Salt prevents decay. The next comparison he gives, talking to the same people, those that have a desire to live according to the Beatitudes or to accept Christianity, Christ-likeness into their lives, you have a testimony that the world needs as salt. But you also have something else that the world needs, and that's light. Salt prevents, light promotes. Amen. Salt prevents decay. Light promotes. John chapter 8. Let me just read it to you. John chapter 8. In verse 12, Jesus, understanding exactly what he was doing here and then what he would do once he would go to the cross and ascend up to heaven, and his disciples would follow him and continue what he had established them to do in the apostolic age. And then as the church would continue to grow and continue to turn the world upside down, how he would use his church to be a salt factory. He would use his church to be the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12, he says this. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. A whole new understanding of life on this earth and then beyond. He would teach his disciples that you'll never die, because once you have served and accomplished your part that I have for you, run your race that I had for you to run, and your life on this earth is over, your body will die, but you will not. You will live on. You will immediately go to be with the Lord. And one day you're going to be given a glorified body. And one day, time will be completely done away with. And we'll live forever with Him in a place of heaven. Wow. In Christ, we have Christ in us. And if we have Christ in us, our goal is to let His light shine through us. And that promotes. It promotes good. Go back with me, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. He says that we're the light of the world. And then he uses the idea of a city. And he breaks it down to every house. Can I tell you that when we have the Beatitudes and we are looking to live according to the Beatitudes, which is a way of life, then we become the salt and we are the light of the world. In every house, there needs to be that kind of a testimony. Because if you have that kind of testimony in your house, the church can only be as strong as its families, as its houses. And as we have those, that kind of a testimony in our houses, then we have the kind of church that God wants us to have, and we can impact our city. And eventually, once we have impacted our city, by impacting our city, we can impact the world. Because we have the light. And it's the light that the world needs. Wow. And light overcomes darkness. In the house. In the city. In the world. Go back with me, Matthew chapter 5. One more verse to look at. Which gives us a reason for New Testament Christianity as being salt and light. New Testament Christianity is the testimony to the world, which is salt and light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, how you live your life, and glorify your Father, which is not in this world, which is in heaven. The reason for salt and light is to stir men to glorify God, to be aware of a creator God, and then to live their lives as to glorifying Him. What a goal. Yeah. All humanity needs to know of Christ. Those who know of Christ have been commissioned to tell them, seeing yourself as different, having a testimony that is your Savior. John chapter 12, verse 35 and verse 36, Jesus is teaching here again his disciples, and he says in verse 35, "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Look to Jesus Christ to determine what light is. Look to Jesus Christ to determine what salt is. And then be dedicated to be like Him and be the children of light. Verse 44, he said, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, how are they going to receive his words? They're given to the world by disciples, by those who have been taught by Jesus Christ how to live their life, how to be a testimony as salt, and how to be a testimony as light. He that receiveth me and receiveth not my words, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, given to him by disciples, hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Because the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus Christ and his teachings and everything that he stood for, that made him the salt and the light. One more passage of scripture and I'm done. Acts chapter 26, verse 15. Let me read it to you. And I said, Paul giving his testimony, the apostle Paul. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to what we represent, light, which is from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Light allows people to turn away from darkness. There's a lot of people that are living in darkness today that have no hope, have no purpose. And God says to us, not only are you the salt, you have what the world needs. You are the light. What you can present is what those in darkness have need of. And it'll change lives. We have to see ourselves as God sees us. As salt with a savor and light. It'll make a difference in our world. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. That's the sermon, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount and what his blueprint for New Testament Christianity, the attitude, and then the testimony with that attitude is salt. It's what's needed in our homes and light. It's what's needed, first of all, in our homes, then in our city, our state, our country, and our world. Let's not lose our savor. The world needs it. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And I pray that as we have presented it tonight, that you would help us to understand it. And then to commit to living by it. I pray, God, that you would help us to see the need of our testimony of Christlikeness and dedicate ourselves to it. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.